I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hour number two, baby. There's only one show in America in a top 10 market that's 5 hours. Yeah, it's us. And Chris is in for Carl today, so we're the economy-sized jack when it comes to sports. This hour of the show, Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Speaking of trucks, real quick, driving to work today on 85. There's enough junk on the median in 85 to basically, you could create like a starter set of, and it would all be mismatched, but living room furniture. There was a sofa. There was a Barca lounger. There was a snap-on tool, like a rolling tool rack you have for your garage.
Yeah.
All this, like, between exits, like, you know, 61 and 66. So,
and all you have to do to get it is risk your life going on the highway.
I've just noticed that today, just random thoughts. I was like, well, you know what I mean? Because I know when I worked, and people still don't believe, Chris, back in the day when I was coming up in radio, Carl, you know, we all come up, it's like minor league baseball. You work in smaller markets, you work your way up. I was working in Bluefield, West by God, Virginia. And a buddy of mine literally had, like, an old weathered bark lounger out on the deck outside his double wide, and with like the duct tape on it, and you know we were sitting there and you got the cables run out so you could watch a West Virginia Tech game, and there's like something stirring down by the fishing like the pole or the pond. So he pulls up a shotgun, pow, and blows the head off like a turtle. It's apparently a snapping turtle that's eating all the fish that are stocked. That's what I think of when I think of outdoor furniture. As far as Oren, any comments about outdoor? You have any quality vinyl or pleather goods outdoors?
We got some old aluminum stuff out there. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Some nice plastic chairs.
Yeah, Drunk Larry was house sitting for us, and he broke all my patio furniture by the pool.
Okay.
It's all gone. I'm not saying it was getting old. It was getting up there. You think you get one more season out of it, and then you're like, Larry, did you break the chair? It's like Peter Griffin. It's like, so anyway, enough about me. Just random thoughts as I was driving today. I'm like, oh, that's a nice, that couch doesn't look too bad as I'm hurtling by. Now it's time for an NFL Blitz.
Hey! Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, fantasy football, yikes. Between Marvin Harrison not getting anything from Kyler Murray. Enough about my team. He was wide open for a number of plays. I saw that today on NFL Network, and literally Murray run around for his life, so couldn't see him. And then if you were a Puka Nacua fan, and obviously he went really high in most people's drafts, he's out for 4 weeks, Chris, on the IR.
Yeah, hits the short-term IR, so he'll be back, but Cooper Kupp looked pretty healthy in week one. So, speaking of fantasy, you just ride him right into the ground, honestly.
Right on. We talked a lot about Jerry.
What we're trying to do here is to accommodate.
Why they didn't just do this in Dallas? You got the number in your head. I said this to Carl on Monday. They call Dak up in his hotel room in Cleveland. Oh, by the way, we're giving you the contract. You'll be the highest paid quarterback, most guaranteed money of all time. Why wouldn't you do it in Dallas? You could have done it before you got on the road, have a press conference. So I really don't understand the logic behind how Jerry and his idiot son work in Dallas.
Well, I think they were trying to maximize their coverage, Mike Bell, because we did not stop talking about this for the entire offseason.
Right.
First it was CeeDee Lamb, then it was Dak Prescott. And you know what? They might not win as many games as they got coverage weeks for this. Anyway, they had a great showing against the Browns week one, but I don't know. You buying the Cowboys as a Super Bowl contender? Hmm.
Well, Cleveland is a hot mess. We're going to talk more about what's going on with Deshaun Watson in a second. First, let's hear from Micah Parsons, because he'd be the next guy to get paid in Big D.
As for me, man, I'm just focused on winning games. I want to win those big games. I want to win those playoff games, get to the Super Bowl. For me, the contract is not really what I'm worried about. It's just me being the best player I can be for my guys, my teammates. And, you know, if a contract, something like that happens further more up, then that happens. But right now, we're going to focus on just trying to be legendary, be great, and bring championships back to Dallas, because that's what the most important thing is.
All right. Look, he's a great defensive player. Nobody doubts it. A lot of folks were curious what a Mike Zimmer defense would look like after Dan Quinn's defense for a number of years. Didn't miss anything. But again, is that just more of a I guess, how bad Cleveland is right now, or all the distractions that Deshaun Watson was dealing with. Here's Jerry. Why did it take so long to give Dak his deal?
Oh, well, I think, first of all, what if you're not right? What if you're not right? What if you're wrong? You shouldn't have extended it. Have you ever thought that in any case, I'm not talking about Dak's contract at all, but in any case, and the assumption you're making when you say late in the game on any of these players, have we ever signed the players early and then sorry that we signed them? You guys get your memory cap out. We have, haven't we? Okay? Signed them way 2 years too early. Mm-hmm. A year too early. Didn't see enough. So it does happen.
I am a pleaser.
I just, but again, I know I belabor the point because I every time we have a Jerry Jones soundbite, I say it to Carl, I'll say it to you, Chris. I think he's lost his fastball. None of this makes sense. There's no logic behind the way they conduct their business.
Okay, so he was worried about signing him without seeing enough, right? How about 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, and a 105.9 QB rating last year. Right. Not enough, Jerry? I mean, what are you talking about, dude? And listen, when it comes to Dak Prescott, is he a top two or three quarterback in the NFL? No. But the bottom line is you're not going to find anybody better than him, especially in the short term, and they're in a win-now situation because father time is coming for Jerry.
And that's, well, I think, first of all, what if you're not right?
Well,
I mean, what? But again, what changed? I mean, what you made him the highest. At the end of the day, you gave CeeDee Lamb the deal, and you gave you're right. Unless he just loves being in the news cycle, maybe that's the simple answer to it. One thing for certain: money cures everything.
I've never seen anybody get their feelings hurt enough that the money couldn't cure.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, listen. Yes, you're right, but you sort of made your franchise quarterback who, when Mikey, I don't need to explain this to you, when you're the franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, that just, it's like the SEC, it just means a little bit more. Right. And to have him basically be a sitting duck for an entire offseason is, you know, that's not nothing.
I just, I don't, like I said, I don't understand it. And Jerry
loves the sound of his own voice. We do know that.
Here's a guy, I love hearing him talk because he's always direct. Coach Tomlin, let's prepare as Fields is your QB.
We're preparing as if Justin is going to be our quarterback. I think that's the appropriate way to do it. Speculation is a waste of time. Russell's hurt. He's not available to us.
There you go.
Okay.
Always direct. Kind of weird to see him not wearing a hat, by the way, on the sideline.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Just wearing the headset. He was indoors.
But you know what? Looks good when you win, Mike Bell.
Right on. Big fan of Coach Tomlin. And this was something that I know that Carl had said. Perhaps, you know, he can just do the bare minimum and just advance and get better and better as Arthur gets more comfortable with Fields. Remember, Fontenot and or Arthur didn't want Fields as their draft pick in 2021, but now he's working with him as his QB, as Russell convalesces his calf.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before they just come out and say, listen, we made an oopsie, Mike. Yeah. We should have went with Fields all along because, listen, if Russell Wilson comes in and he throws for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, I'll be damned and I'll be wrong. But I just don't foresee that happening in Pittsburgh.
A couple of other notes from around the league. I said this yesterday, and then Dan Lebatard ran with it. Of course, he's got more people following him and listening than he does to me. But I said, would it be out of the would it be unexpected, or would it be completely out of the realm of the pop?
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Possible that the Browns leaked this information about the latest civil suit about Deshaun Watson, because now the NFL is going to look at it. Now there's no criminal charges involved. This is another alleged victim. This is was a person he was supposed to be on a date with. We gave you some of the details yesterday. A single mom who says that he made untoward advances and things got a little funky, basically in the same pattern of everything else that you saw and you read about in the last couple of years. But I wonder if the Browns have got that ultimate buyer's remorse and are looking to, and I wouldn't put it past Jimmy Haslam. Remember, the guy's he's half a crook. Got nailed by the feds for price fixing one of his gas station chains back in the day. But would you try to move out your own quarterback through, some dubious means, knowing that you're on the hook and this guy is an absolute disaster?
So basically, you're trying to get him on the commissioner's exempt list is essentially what you're doing.
Right.
Because We looked at the numbers yesterday. He's taking up $70 million worth of cap space. And, Mike, his cap hit over the next 2 years in dead cap is $111 million. I mean, you can't move this guy if you wanted to. He's literally untouchable from not only just a poor play standpoint, but from a persona standpoint at this point for what he represents in the league. So unless you can get him removed from the team by the commissioner's exempt list, I don't think they have a choice.
A lot of folks felt on the curtain raiser in Kansas City, Lamar Jackson was maybe too amped up and left it all on the field. He did miss a couple of days practice, which got some eyebrows raised. In Baltimore, Ravens posted a video this afternoon with him on the field doing practice. Harbaugh wouldn't say whether his absences were personal or injury related, but it did get some folks concerned when, you know, they're back to work for the next week and he wasn't out there.
By the way, did you hear what Kyle Van Noy had to say about the Chiefs? That was bad. Apparently, he suffered a pretty gnarly eye injury, and he had to wait in the training room for over an hour for somebody to come see him while there were people partying in the medical tent room.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So they didn't have an optometrist or an eye doctor?
Apparently, it took over an hour of him sitting there with a very gruesome eye injury that's going to keep him out, potentially, before he was able to be treated. So he says, it was funny because you know how they gave all those grades out last year about the facilities? The Chiefs got an F. And he said, I'd give him an F, too, after what just happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, like, you got to provide, obviously, adequate medical attention to all the players, whether it's home or away in that situation. It's weird. Hey, real quick, Robert Salas says, Hassan Reddick, whenever the deal gets done, it gets done. Okay. Could have used him. Look, they need a lot more things than just Hassan Reddick against the 49ers. But, I mean, the idea you get beat with the backup, Georgia Tech guy, with Christian McCaffrey out. I know that Salas said he feels better about being 0-1 with Aaron Rodgers than 1-0 last year with Zach Wilson.
Let us all be in a position to miss $800,000 a week.
Right. Tariq Hill talking about his incident on the way to the game on Sunday says he could have been better, and obviously the cops didn't even throw him on the ground. Still waiting to see how Metro-Dade or Miami-Dade evaluates and will somebody lose his job over that. But Tyreek just saying some things he wants to get with the police and have a dialogue and get the community involved, which isn't a bad idea. Hey, man, we'll come back. We're going to talk about what's going on around the NFL, including what does Ian Valentino think, NFL writer for the 33rd team, about how bad we looked on offense. And does he buy into the fact that, like everybody else around the country, what the is up with Kirk Cousins and that Achilles? It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell with Chris and Bacall.
Aim.
Hey, man, it is a Dukes and Bell with Chris and for Carl today. This hour of the show is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We were just listening to the Shannon Sharp audio, and since this is a family program, not much that we can play of it.
No.
For you. If you didn't see, Shannon Sharp went on Instagram, and I'm allergic to that. But yeah. It was Shannon Sharp. Sounded like he was making sweet love to somebody.
Oh, it didn't sound like it. He was.
And we'll try to clean it up, or maybe not, but we'll tell you the details as the video is going viral and has been scrubbed from some websites, but it was on his Instagram. It's pretty darn funny. But stay tuned for that and Guy Talk in about an hour and 10. Right now, though, let's talk to a man who has nothing to do with Shannon Sharp's sex tape. It's Ian Valentino from the 33rd team. Great website, by the way. If you love the NFL, always really cool columns and interesting stuff. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Ian, what do you think of Kirk Cousins, man? I mean, we just looks like he ain't ready. Got to go back in the oven. He ain't done.
Yeah. First off, what an intro. I did not have that on my bingo board for the day. I think the only thing more surprising than Kirk Cousins and how week one went was how you introduced me. So, no, that's great, though. But it was rough, guys. I mean, we expected some hiccups, new coaching staff, a lot of new pieces here. But, wow, I don't think anyone could have expected not only just the results, but kind of how Atlanta went about getting to those results. It was just a little bit of an odd game plan, I thought.
When it comes to, you just mentioned the game plan, Ian, Kirk Cousins, who's been so good in his career at the play-action game, they quite literally didn't do it at all in this one. And Coach Raheem Morris, this is the conflicting part, says that Kirk is healthy and that the offensive game plan was not limited by Kirk's injury. So then if that's the case, who do you blame? Is it Zach Robinson?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to take that statement at face value, though. And I get that, right? Like, there's a level of sportsmanship here where we don't want to say, well, Kirk's out there playing 75-80%. But at the same time, you don't want to go out there and kind of throw everyone else under the bus, because if that's the game plan, then you're a little bit worried about your first-time offensive coordinator. So I think it would go on Robinson, but it's hard to imagine that that's actually the truth, because look at what Robinson did in Los Angeles, a lot of play action. Their whole offense was predicated on it. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And I think what we saw there is, look, let's as a coaching staff, let's take this lump. But they must have known, right? Like, this couldn't have been a surprise. So that's almost like an extra layer to this where it almost makes you wonder, you know, why did they not just start Michael Penix? If you're going to shorten up your offense that much to where it's a shell of itself or what you can possibly run, it really makes you wonder why they're looking to save face here. I think everyone would have understood if Kirk had to sit the first month or something to get where he needs to be.
And that's where, you know, we started the show today, talking about it, Ian. I mean, we at first didn't really understand why you would need one or the other. You just go with Penix, trust your scouting, make him your guy, and devote your free agent money to defense. And that probably would have been the play. But here we are. So you got an insurance policy. Let's cash it in. That's my take. But I we're going to talk to Coach Ra. We'll be up at Falcons headquarters tomorrow. It just seems like they're trying to avoid any sniff of a controversy, which was going to be inevitable if Cousins wasn't 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And it almost makes it look a lot worse in the sense of you go back to when Kirk talked about, hey, I had no idea they were going to take a first-round quarterback. And so is there a level of distrust there that they're looking to not create a further rift? And so I get it. They want to do the veteran a solid play. You know, Kirk will probably play himself into shape. It'll take time. But how much time is too much time? And we all have expectations that this team is going to be, if not win the division, be a wild card team. So I think falling short of that, especially with all the moves that they made, it would be a pretty big disappointment. So it's tough. I don't feel like I'd want to be in their shoes right now because the Kirk that we saw this week is not a great Kirk, but I do think that they're going to be forced to do some of the things that, yeah, you know, the play action passes, a little bit more motion, get him. You're going to have to get him moving just a little bit. It's part of his game. So I think they're going to have to integrate that stuff sooner than later, or else they're just not going to win, and that's not really an option.
When it comes to the defense, they did play well, 6 field goals from the Steelers, 3 of those or 4 of those 50 yards plus, but the Eagles' offense is a different beast than the Steelers' offense. So how do you think the Falcons' defense matches up with Philly, and they're going to be taking them on at the link?
I think the biggest thing is going to be matching up on the outside. I like what Atlanta did, and this is where Raheem Morris was a really good choice because he gets the most out of whatever you're working with. Atlanta has good talent on defense, but they don't have the most talent. And I thought they did a really good job holding those field goals. Pittsburgh did pretty well to sustain drives, but you'd rather bend and not break. And that's pretty much the model for the NFL's defensive era that we're in right now. And they succeeded in that. 18 points, you should be able to win with that. They're going to give themselves a chance. I just think it's going to be a matter of, okay, how do you scheme to slow down two immensely talented wide receivers? A.J. Brown is especially a nightmare against everybody. But then Devontae Smith, too, because he has so much speed. So I don't dislike the matchup. I think that coaching-wise, they're going to get there. Philadelphia, you know, with Saquon Barkley, they're a unique challenge. And they did a really good job of integrating him in week one. I thought the way that they seamlessly fit him in, got him, you know, catching passes out the backfield, they look like they already had the full season's plan for him. I think that's the most dangerous part of their offense because you wanted them to start slowly with him. So it's going to be a challenge just because the individual playmakers are so good and the offensive line is where it's at. But at the same time, it's still a newer offense, and we might have seen them come out hot now that they've shown a lot of what they might do. I think schematically they can slow them down. It's just a matter of can you stop the big game-breaking plays that, you know, like superstars are just going to create. So definitely a unique challenge this week.
It's Ian Valentino, guys, 33rd Team NFL writer. Check out the website, 33rdteamnfl.com. You can get all the details on everything that's breaking this week. We have Thursday Night Football, Dolphins, aside from the Tariq Hill situation. They, you know, they had a typical kind of a grinder against the Jaguars. Who in the AFC do you think is going to be the cream of the crop? I mean, you still say nobody can match the Patrick Mahomes mojo, and no one looked as bad as the Chiefs did late in the season. So can you give them the odds on 3-1, 4-1 to make it a three-peat?
I think so. I think you still keep going with it. It's so reminiscent of what the Patriots did. I mean, the high-level coaching, the high-level, now they have playmakers on both sides of the ball that you have to respect. They know their identity. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I think that top to bottom, they're still the best team as an organizational standpoint, too. It's hard to see them, especially in the AFC. I think the AFC has really taken a dip down. There's a lot of depth, but the quality at the top, you're starting to wonder about. Baltimore, we saw their flaws. We knew going into this season, that team got worse from last year. They didn't add more receiving talent. We saw it in game one. they don't have the guys, I think, on the outside to compete when it matters with Kansas City without some pretty extreme turnover luck. Miami, it seems like they got worse in the trenches. Buffalo, they're interesting, but do they have the talent? I don't know that they do outside of Josh Allen. Even, you know, Cleveland falling apart, that week one was disastrous for them. I mean, any hopes that they might have been digging their way out of things, it's hard to be optimistic with them. So, yeah, you know, maybe looking at maybe an underdog team, like, you know, can someone like the Chargers make things ugly? I don't think in the playoffs. I just don't think that they're ready. So the Jets were probably like the lurking team that people want to be really good. They might get there. They might be a team over the last month that gets there, but I'm still worried about their ability to stay healthy, though. So, yeah, I look at the Chiefs, and then it's almost like a big gap, and then everybody else. You don't want to overreact to week one, but a lot of what we saw in week one confirmed a lot of our fears about these AFC teams.
One team you didn't mention there, the Cincinnati Bengals. It looks like T. Higgins is going to miss another week. There's reports out today about how extension talks with Ja'Marr Chase broke down. Joe Burrow looked awful in week one. You think that's just a blip, or are we in for a rough season in Cincy?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a rough season in Cincy, and I think they need to look at the coaching situation. And Cincinnati's still running stuff that they were running 3-4 years ago as an offense. It's a lot of isolation routes, relying on their wide receivers to do the bulk of the work. It's like, well, you don't have your two-star receivers taken care of. So you can't really run a lot of the stuff that used to work when you don't have the guys out there that can make that stuff work. They've got to run more motion. The offensive line is still not very good. The running game is still pretty average. It's a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow. And then we don't also know about Joe Burrow's ability to stay healthy and stay upright. And I just think they're kind of stuck in the past. So I think this is going to be a tough season for them. Their defense is also not what it used to be too. It's a defense that's very, very young across the board, and they haven't necessarily played up to a lot of the guys that they invested in. They took early. A lot of those guys haven't hit their stride yet. So they might come on as the season comes on, especially as Chase and Higgins, you know, those guys get back and they get into form, but I'm not super optimistic about them. The AFC North is so tough too. But I do think throughout the season, they're just going to have their ups and downs, but something feels off with that team, and I do think they've got to look internally to say there's things they could do better to get more out of that roster.
Hopefully we get Kirk Cousins 100%. Not sure when that happens, but then we can do all the things we thought we were going to see, things we did see at practice. Meanwhile, in our division, Bucks look great, and the Saints just absolutely smoked Carolina. I know on your website right now at 33rdteam.com, you got an article saying, is Carolina just going to cut bait on Bryce Young? He looks like he's a lost puppy.
Yeah, I in my latest mock draft, I have them taking another quarterback. It's still early, right? But at some point, you're going to have to do that with him, unless if something changes over the next, you know, 4 months. I was never really that guy with him. Like, I never thought he was that, you know, high end of a prospect. He just doesn't have amazing physical traits. I thought his processing and the way he saw the field wasn't really where some people were hyping it to be. And I think we're seeing a lot of that in the NFL. That team's not great around him. I'll definitely give people that, but they have enough for that offense to not look the way that it looks. I mean, it's a train wreck and it's early. We'll see how it looks in, you know, like 2 months from here. But I think Carolina's going to have to make that decision. Look, if you end up with the number one pick again, I don't know how you can keep justify, you know, sending him back. It's almost like the Bears situation. Saw what they did with Justin Fields. It's better to just cut bait when you have to, and then just try somebody else. Worst case, hey, if he ends up being decent for someone else, all right, as long as he doesn't end up being a star. But he's shown no inclination to being a star there.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And okay, they brought Canales in from Tampa Bay, and so, well, I mean, it's small sample size, but yikes. All right, brother, we'll talk to you soon. Ian, again, it's the 33rd team. It's a pretty cool website for NFL fans. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Now go check out that Shannon Sharp video. All right, man, we'll come back. We got our man, O-Ran, is in for Chris, who's in for Carl, which means he's in charge of Yeah Man, No Man. It's on the way. We've also got some dog stuff to get to. I mean, I'm not telling you to bet now, but okay, I'll tell you to bet now. Here's some consumer news you can use. Jump on Georgia now before the number goes any higher. Because I know Carl, would Carl bet against a team he's paying for college for?
If it's going to make him more money to pay for that college?
I think it would.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Yeah Man, No Man. It's coming up next on Dukes and Bell. A lot of folks asking, what is up? What's the dealio with Kirk Cousins? And if you wanted to have an insurance policy, which so many of you said was the reason we drafted Michael Penix, Why isn't he ready to go week one if Cousins isn't? We'll talk more about that coming up. And more guests to sound off on that, including Dave Zangaro, who's going to cover the Eagles up in Philly, get his take on their bouncing back. They had an extended off period because they were down in Brazil for the first game in Sao Paulo against the Packers. That's coming up next hour, too. Right now, though, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
No, Chris is to my right or to my left, and he's got Yeah Man, No Man. What's up, Big O?
Not a lot, guys. Not a lot. You guys were talking about Deshaun Watson earlier, that lovely dead cap hit he's got. Our dead cap money he's got tied in and the cap hit this year and just a bad situation all the way around up there in Cleveland right now. He's not playing well, not worth the money they're paying him, and now there's even more allegations and cases that are coming out against him. Well, if you ask Dan Le Batard about that, he thinks there's a conspiracy as to why.
Wait, that's my theory. He's stealing my theory.
He's stealing your theory there, yes. Dan Le Batard seems to think that the Browns are the one who are floating this whole allegation story. It's not coming from anybody but the Browns, so they can get out of paying Deshaun Watson the remainder of that contract. Yeah, man, no, man. Any truth to the Browns maybe being the ones behind this latest allegation we're being put out there?
I mean, that would be quite damning if it was true, but would I put it past them, especially given the way things looked in week one? No, I wouldn't, to be quite honest. I think that anything's on the table at this point, because if he doesn't get significantly better soon, that will be looked at as probably the worst contract in sports history.
Yeah, the only thing that would come close recently, and it's not even close because it's $70 million less, is the Daniel Jones contract with the Giants. He's got more pick sixes than he has touchdown throws since he signed that deal. But yeah, getting back to Deshaun Watson, I put it out there yesterday when we were doing the NFL Blitz with Carl, saying, am I crazy? And then I saw what you were talking about with Dan Le Batard, and brilliant minds think alike. But yeah, I agree. I just think it wouldn't put it past you. I mean, I wrote that screenplay a couple of years ago where an NFL team like takes out their own quarterback because they didn't want to pay the contract. It's coming to a major motion. Not really. It's been I shopped that thing. It was like 10 years ago. But anyway, yes, you're screwed. The guy's giving you nothing. Now, in Deshaun's defense, he had a really horrible week, lost his dad, lost one of his best friends. But you've got to be able to compartmentalize when you know what's on, what's at stake and where this team's supposed to go. This team went to the playoffs with literally Joe Flacco at the end of the run. And you can't even contribute a thing.
Joe Flacco and no Nick Chubb last year either. The knee was already out, yeah.
I mean, look, because they were so bad for so long, they were able to draft so many impact players from running backs to defensive backs and one of the best edge rushers. So, yeah, it's got to get better, but I wouldn't put it past Jimmy Haslam. He's a sleazeball, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Move to college football here, guys. Northern Illinois scored a huge upset, probably the biggest win in school's history past weekend, in South Bend beating Notre Dame 16-14. Their coach, Thomas Hammack, he had this like amazing inspirational speech after the game. Just was emotional. It was really, really great to see that on the field. But something happened before that speech, and Thomas Hammack went on Pardon My Take to explain a conversation he had with Marcus Freeman after the game.
Like, was that right after the game where you said, Coach, if there's anything we can do to help you guys for the rest of the season, if you want any of the stuff that we saw on tape that we took advantage of, you're happy to help them. I feel like that's an unusual thing for a coach to offer to an opponent that they just beat. Do you think he's going to take you up on that?
Yeah, he has taken me up on it. And we've talked on the phone a couple times and exchanged text messages. It was my first time meeting him. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for him as a head coach. I want him to do well, for obvious reasons. And, you know, just because we competed don't mean we can't help each other or try to assist each other to make each other better. You know, sometimes when you become a head coach, you don't have many people you can really rely upon because nobody's going through what you're going through.
Yeah, man, no, man. Okay. You asking a coach or telling a coach after the game, hey, holler at me if you want to know how we beat you today. And that head coach responding back to you like, yeah, how did you guys beat us today?
That doesn't reflect well for Marcus Freeman.
No, and also at the end of the day, like, this is such an anomaly. Like, this is not something that I think you go look at the game film and say, oh, yeah, that's going to help us beat, you know, whoever in a couple of weeks. No, this is a giant no man for me. This is a bizarre man for me, if anything. The whole tenor of it just seems kind of off. Like, yes, you guys can be friends. Raheem Morris and Mike Tomlin are pretty close. I don't think they were sharing trade secrets before the game or after the game.
Yeah, that is a bit unusual. But, yeah, that's an unacceptable loss. It's terrible. I mean, all the juice that came from beating Texas A&M just to lose to. And, by the way, I'm surprised. I thought Riley Leonard would be a nice fit, and maybe he still will be for Notre Dame, but he hasn't done anything. He's got no touchdowns on the season and two picks.
Yep.
And this was a guy that I got to see in person against Florida State last year, and he was on one leg, and he was still – I mean, he was a tough guy. He threw for 20 touchdowns a couple years back. But, yeah, maybe going to the well every year for the ACC for your starting quarterback, this is the thing with the transfer portal. At some point, like Kirby, Carson Beck waited his time all these years. If I was the NIU coach, I wouldn't send the game plan. I'd say, get a better freaking quarterback.
Yeah, maybe Riley Leonard is not the guy for you there, Marcus Freeman. Maybe Riley Leonard is not the guy. I don't know. But it just kind of struck me as odd that, like, you just beat this guy, and you have the, like, hey, just by the way, just yeah. I'll give you my number. I mean, we can talk about how I beat you if you want to do that. Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, whether it's, like, there's African-American coaches in college and pro, it's still not enough, but still the idea you would help a guy out because you don't want to see a guy lose a prestigious job like Notre Dame, but that still seems like a stretch after you just beat him in one of your greatest victories in the history of your program.
And he's not getting the job if Freeman gets fired, so there's
not.
That.
Right. Yeah, absolutely not. Let's get back to the NFL here real quick. Kyler Murray spoke today, and we talked earlier about how he just had the he missed Marvin Harrison Jr. went down the field late in the ball game, and there's talk about the lack of targets that Marvin Harrison got in the ball game.
Yes!
Well,
yes!
Kyler was asked about that, and his response was, quote, it's not my job to get Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball.
Oh!
The touches are up to the offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing, who also agrees that he needs to find ways to scheme to get Marvin Harrison more open. Yeah, man, no, man, you buying that?
No. And by the way, I thought we were saying that Kyler Murray had learned his lesson about keeping his big yap shut when it came to distractions and creating controversies in Arizona. Guess not. No, you're the quarterback, and he was wide open on a couple of throws. They showed the breakdown on NFL Network the other day. And, yes, am I jaded? Of course, because I drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and I needed those 14 points he was supposed to get me. I got ugats. But, yeah, Kyler Murray, just say, hey, the common sense answer is we've all got to do a better job to get our playmakers involved. Done. And let it sit, right?
Arizona made their bed. They stuck with him. And this is what you're going to get. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the hours spent away from playing Call of Duty have done him any good. And I think that's going to just be the, you know, there are some quarterbacks, Mike, it's funny that they'll go their entire career, like an Eli Manning, for instance. He'll go his entire career and not make a single headline. But then you get guys like Kyler Murray or Cam Newton, and they just can't seem to stay out of their own way.
I thought he had turned the other page, or turned the page, I should say. It's weird. I mean, you know, Cliff Kingsbury seemed like the perfect fit out there. Obviously, that whole thing blew up, and he had the injury. But yeah, I just, you know what I'm saying, Oren? Just, there's a way to, if you've been in the NFL for a number of years, as Murray has, and you've answered tough questions, there's an easy way to answer that. You know,
don't do that.
You're going to throw it on the OC? Yeah, I've got to do a better job to get my playmakers involved. Done.
He's
take ownership of it.
Yeah, he's openly defiant against his own team. Who does that help?
Yeah, but that's his MO.
No one. All right, gentlemen, on that note, let's go ahead and get up on out of here.
All right. Hey, man, we said it earlier, some consumer news you can use. We're honoring Frankie Beverly and Mays. We're also playing a lot of the jams at the bands that used to play in that old Budweiser Super Show. It didn't become the Essence Fest, Oren, right, back in the day. But, yeah, man, play some R&B. You're not going to believe, and we'll get into this in Guy Talk, there's a song which is a classic, and Chris has never heard it. I know you're younger. But I can't believe at 4:40 we'll reveal this song, which I'm betting 99.9% of our audience has heard this song. Coming up. Next, though, Dogs. Yes, they are going to smoke Kentucky. Kentucky looks horrible. Kirby's going to say all this nonsense about how good they are. It's nonsense. Next.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.